Chelsea and Aaron won't be here today. He texted me, he said, we're in Colorado and we're getting 18 inches of snow. I think we're going to, which probably good for the ski industry, but but anyway, why don't we start with a word of prayer? Father, bless our occasion to be together. Increase our love for Christ and His church. Keep us mindful that He is the head of the church, and we're to be His good and faithful followers. And may this study be profitable to that end. In His name we pray. Amen. So I'm thinking this can be the last time we ought to be able to finish today. And I don't, kind of two future issues. When do we want to have our party? Any Wednesday night's good for me. Someone's just going to have to tell me, though. I just need numbers to go order fried chicken. And then when do we want to bring y'all to the front of the church and introduce you as new members? I do have a kind of a commitment. It's a pretty simple elementary thing, but I just have you all read that in response. We might go through it very quickly. If you go down to the second one, we covenant to advance the purity, peace, unity, and edification of the church, and to work diligently to sustain the same as we exercise love for God and His Word and charity towards our neighbor. We covenant to adorn our profession of faith with the dignity and honor befitting the majesty of Christ in our baptism. As such, we confess the importance of the pursuit of personal godliness and the necessity of forsaking the nominalism and casualness that is such a part of our culture. We covenant to advance the kingdom of God by all the means of grace, including evangelism, prayer, application of scriptures to our lives, and acknowledge that God has strategically placed us in homes, places of work, neighborhoods, and in this city to engage our lives as believer priests. We covenant to submit joyfully to the rule of Christ delegated to the elders of the church as they endeavor by God's grace to rule by the word of God, for such as are charged to watch over our souls and will give account to God for the same. We covenant to use our gifts that God has entrusted to us as stewards to equip the saints for the service and build up the body of Christ. We covenant to be faithful to the public assembly of the church, and as God has blessed us, support the same. We covenant that apart from God's grace, we will be faithful in none of these things, and confess that God is a good shepherd who sends the Spirit of power to energize and renew us in the inner man, and thereby enable us to live for Him and fulfill His purposes for the church. So we'll just read that. If you have a problem with it, let me know, but it's pretty simple stuff. And then I'll have, after we read that, I'll have the church come up and greet you all as new members. So, you know, we can do it next Sunday. I don't want to do it 6 months from now, obviously. But is that a problem for anybody? That might not be good because we have next Sunday's the first Sunday of the month. So I have the Lord's table. Let's tentatively plan the Sunday after that. If you want to, we can do that Wednesday. I have to get a calendar. That would be May. It'd be the 12th. So I'm going to put that in. And what about Wednesday the 8th, having our party? I'm sorry? What do you think, Joanne? 6? 5:30? Did that work for you, Jessica? Okay. Would you kind of get that out to Chelsea and Aaron? Jose and the Mantus, yeah. Yeah, so Barb, you're going to come? Yes. You're going to come? Okay, good. Yeah. No, we'll have it here. I just would do it here. Just need a number, Joanne, and whoever's going to go with me to Homeland. And I'll need the number in advance, Joanne, to order the chicken. But you can, as long as it's, Monday the 6th or Tuesday the 7th, because Yeah, and again, thanks for bringing up the Mantus. John and Mary. Yeah. John and Mary, for sure. Okay. So turn your books in. I'm going to cover very, very quickly the chapter on prayer. Just so that we're done with it. You need to pray for the church. I certainly encourage you to, pray for the elders. Pray for the spiritual life of our church, protection, et cetera, et cetera. And then pray for individuals in the church. You find out someone has a particular need. I try to have two prayer times in my life. That's up to you. I'd have morning prayers and evening prayers. My prayers are pretty simple. I'll start out by praising God. I'll petition God, and then I'll pray for my own personal needs. You use your own format. It's very important for you to have a vibrant church life. Beyond the specified times of prayer in your life, you really ought to be praying when I pray when I'm driving the car, Paul says pray without ceasing. It's important to recognize that you have dead time in your life, driving or whatever. It's not like you always have to have a formal prayer. God may bring things to mind, but there's a lot of needs. As you socialize with people in the church, you're going to find out there's a lot of people have a lot of baggage they're trying to deal with. For the most part, believe it or not, it has to do with children. Whether they be young or old. We all deeply love our children, and they sometimes go the wrong way down a one-way street and don't think they are. They think they're fine and get upset with you when you bring it to their attention. So what can you do? Well, you can't nag them to death. So you just have to pray for them. And there's a lot of that that's going on. A lot of children that are outside of the faith, and some are in the faith but are in, questionable churches. So I would encourage you to socialize with people as you see fit, and as you learn about different battles they're fighting, certainly pray for them. You should always be praying for our own particular mission here. Particularly in terms of bringing Reformed theology to Oklahoma City, as well as our missionaries, the Congo and Uganda. Seemed like last time I heard a prayer request about Upoki, he had typhoid fever and malaria. Jiminy Christmas. That's a pretty tough deal to handle. So, just pray for those issues. Congo is always in political turmoil. Uganda, not so much so, because they'll have a strong dictator. You know, it's always, you know, military backed. And, you know, to me, one of the things I always pray for our church is just more young people. You know, young people typically are chasing contemporary services and lots of music and, you know, 15-minute homilies. I don't do homilies, you know, it's just that's the way that's where the church is today. So, you know, it's a, yeah, just pray for the church. Got to be gracious to us. Any questions on prayer? If you haven't, again, this is a personal thing for you. If you haven't given your email address to Bonnie Lemons, that's how church-wide prayer requests go out. And again, that's totally your discretion. But if you want the entire church to be in prayer for some particular need that you have, Bonnie Lemons is the one that sends it out. She does it, obviously, over email. I'm certainly thankful Barbara's here and is going to come that Wednesday night to take pictures so we can update our directory with the particular information that you want in there, you know, namely phone numbers and email addresses. So if someone wants to get in touch with you, they can. But again, that's just your discretion. I encourage you to do that. I use mine all the time just to, you know, because I need to email or text someone or whatever the case might be. And it's very helpful, particularly to new people in the church, is they can say, let's see, Bauer Sox, I better go look at my directory and find out who that is. They can see my pictures. Oh, these, you know, that's okay. So it's just really helpful in terms for someone brand new that trying to learn everybody's names and so on and so forth. So encourage you to participate in that. But again, it's entirely up to you. So what are some of the ministry opportunities that exist for you? I mean, if God brings you into the church by salvation, through baptism, you unite with Christ and his church. So he, for whatever reason, he brought you here, and he's gifted you, however he's gifted you, I don't really know. Perhaps you do or you don't, but something you ought to pray about if you don't. What are areas in which you can be of use to the church beyond just issues like using your gift, whatever that might be, but just helping the church? So let's talk about some of those things. There are a couple of discipleship programs. There's a men's study on Thursday mornings before work. And then there's the ladies' study on Wednesday night. I know some of y'all attend the ladies' study. But generally, it's a book study. To me, I'm always thrilled that that's happening because I think it's really, really critical for people to connect. Okay? The study on Thursday morning, you know, men, obviously the one here Wednesday evenings, women, but to me, it's important for people to connect, develop relationships. I have a philosophy that life's about relationships, not only about that, but it is about that. Develop with relationships with people you connect with. So those are two kind of discipleship areas. If you think there's a need in the church for something else, again, you know, you can kind of take your issue through a rubric like assess the need, maybe design a solution, think about resourcing it, and take it to the elders. I mean, the elders are pretty accessible. We have our session Once a month here at the church, the hour before prayer time, that's always announced in your bulletin. I just would caution you, or maybe caution is too strong a word. I just would encourage you to think about the fact that it's one thing to discover all the needs in the world, but you got to resource it. If you can't resource it, nothing's going to happen. You know. So, I mentioned about prayer needs. And again, this is a private issue with you. I'm just reminding you that it's something I'm encouraging you to consider, and that is develop some prayer partners. Okay. Maybe there's, you know, maybe there's someone that you just connect with for whatever reason, similar personalities, whatever the case might be. You know, consider joining in a prayer partnership. Life is a great spiritual battle. Prayer is one of the great means, and we need prayer. So, but that's something you have to kind of work out. Obviously, if you're a young lady, you need to do it with young ladies, men to men, for the obvious reasons. But that is something I really highly encourage. I'm involved in some personal prayer partnerships where typically I'm praying for the children of guys that have asked me to pray for their children. And so I set aside a specific time. For me, it's Monday morning. I'll spend 20 to 30 minutes in prayer for praying for these people for just because they've asked me to pray for their children. And then I extract from them. Well, if you want me to pray for yours, you pray for mine. You know, if you want to withdraw in my bank, make a deposit in my bank. You know, So I don't make it a one-way street, but develop some partnerships like that. There is, one of the greatest needs in our church is in our children's programs, okay, because of the resourcing of it. I think I mentioned this in the past. We belong to this coalition called Ministry Safe, so that whoever has access to children goes through a background check. And then we have a rule given the Ministry Safe program is that no adult can ever be left alone with a child, for the obvious reasons. I mean, incredible. I mean, you all are aware of the tremendous sex scandals that have occurred with children. I mean, it's tragic, but that's the world we live in. And sometimes people come into the church and they want access to children. Why do you get access to children? Well, you become a Sunday school teacher. So we try to be diligent with that. And that no adult, there's always got to be a two adults in there, and if it's a husband and wife team, it's got to be three adults, because husband and wife team sometimes create mischief as well. So we're trying our best to protect our children. They're members of the church, and we have to, create physical safety for them. So what does that mean? Well, when you go into a Sunday school class for children, there's always two adults in there. So it creates a resourcing issue. So you might, that's an area where you can help. The same thing occurs in the nursery. There always has to be two adults, okay? Who wants to work in the nursery? Well, nobody, but, those are church members. Those infants are church members. And they come into our church for the protection and safety of the church. Now, just because you sign up to do something like that doesn't mean you have to sign a 10-year stint. You can say, hey, I'll do it for 6 months, or you know, or I can do it, you know, once a quarter. I mean, anything's helpful. Renee Buchanan kind of has been in charge of the nursery. Ronnie Andrews, in terms of the Sunday school programs, teachers, and his wife, Donine, talk to, you know, one of them. But there's a resourcing need there because we have to protect our children. It'd be a terrible stain on the reputation of our church if, you know, there was some issue. You know, I get it that, you know, everybody wants to be in the adult Sunday school class, but you just might consider those things. In our worship service, as you know, you will see different men doing the call to worship. You know, if Kenneth or Gary would like to be involved in that, just say, Phil, you know, put me on the chain. I'd like to, you know, be involved in the call to worship. But, you know, it's different things, whether it's reciting the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, or more typically the responsive readings that you find in our hymnal. We have other programs where they're highly participatory, like our Easter service, our Christmas service, where people are reading passages of Scripture or different theological statements. I'm always kind of questioning, you know, what do you think about our Easter program? Because it's an atypical Easter program, okay? I'm not preaching. You know, we're just simply going through the text. Whenever someone says, you guys ought to rethink doing that because I don't like it, well, you know, the elders will rethink it. I'm always asking the elders as well as people, you know, what do you think of the Easter program? There's obviously a lot more music and music involvement. So if you are gifted vocally, you know, talk to Ronnie Andrews. You know, there are, you know, as you know, since you have some familiarity with both of those programs, if you think about our last Easter program, there are, you know, several, you know, vocal involvements from people in the congregation. So, but again, that's just a, you know, it's not something I manage. That's just something you have to say, well, you know, I'd really like to get involved in that. I would like more special music, but it's not going to be mine because I'm not gifted in that area. So, you know, and I always hear people say, well, I won't do it by myself. Well, okay, there's people that will form. I mean, you see Ronnie and Roger Johnson, you know, there's duets, but there's, you know, we've had, you know, sometimes trios, you know, but again, it's whether you know, your vocal involvement. But it's, you know, special music, I think, to me, is kind of really, really cool. And I think people really like it. I'm always blown away by Shanita. She has such a beautiful voice. But, you know, Mary Miller has a beautiful voice. And when I'm up there sitting and listening, I'm saying, boy, some pretty voices out there. But I know everyone's hesitant. Well, I don't want to do it by myself. Well, think about recruiting someone to do it with you, or maybe a trio. I try to, as much as I can, have a little bit of change in our services, like special music, because I'm committed to a participation by the congregation. Okay, that's why I recruit men to be engaged in the call to worship. Every now and then I'll ask someone, well, Shanita, isn't it time for a solo? I mean, you know, of course, she's always game for doing solos. So I just have to kind of, you know, leave that with you. I mentioned prayer partnerships. you know, just you to think about. The other thing I also encourage you to think about, it's not something I can mandate, if you know, if you're someone that you think you have the gift of hospitality, you might consider having some fellowship groups, you know, having a dinner party, invite people, you know, in the church to come, and then say, look, you know, now it's your turn. I encourage people to do that. I mean, I know we live in an age where everybody's busy. Everybody's in a rush. People do not engage in hospitality as was much more common 50, 60, 70 years ago. And to me, it's kind of the same. You know, how do you connect with people except you fellowship with them? You have a dinner party or something. You know, maybe you have a Super Bowl party. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to get involved in, you know, laying out some rubric for you to follow, because that's in the freedom of your own conscience as well as your own engagement. But it is a concern to me socially that people just don't do that anymore. Okay, I had a lady I used to use help me, you know, do my own dinner parties, particularly when they were formal. And she said, she told me, Phil, young people don't buy silver anymore. They don't buy crystal anymore because they don't entertain anymore. I thought, man, what a tragedy. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, what is life? Just always getting up and going to work and doing whatever. But socializing is important. It's also important in the life of the church because that's where you're going to connect with people and form, form bonds of friendship. Form bonds, particularly, you know, my, you know, key is form prayer bonds, because you know, life sometimes can get overwhelming, and you need your friends praying for you, and so I mean, I'd like to see a lot more social engagement in the life of our church, but again, it's not something I specify. I've had people into my home and continue to do it again. Have to kind of sometimes bug my wife about it, but again, just bring that to your attention. You have to think of ways where you can use your gifts. But I just remind you of that. There's another area of service that is something that's ongoing need, and I let Donnie, Ronnie's wife, kind of handle a lot of this, and that is there's ongoing janitorial work. And I've told the elders, you know, we could obviously just subcontract it out to somebody, but if people want to do it, that's up to them. Obviously, you've got to have a clean church. You know, but there you'll see people on Sunday mornings after the service is over with cleaning bathrooms and sweeping floors. And, you know, I mean, that's just part of the life of the church. You know, so if you want to get involved in that, just bring it to your attention. Another area that is, to me, very, very important is contact with people that are sick or in the hospital or shut-ins. You know, whether it be writing them a note, sending them a card, give them a call, going to visit them. We have a meal train program if someone needs meals brought in. And Audrey White does that. I don't know if y'all have seen it. But someone gets sick and has a real particular need for, you know, food to be brought in. Audrey White is she'll send out a need for a meal train. People sign up for it, so on and so forth. But just contact with shut-ins. We really only now have one, and that's Faye Day. Faye, a long, long time member of our church, really godly woman. But she just got to where she couldn't drive anymore. People stay in contact with her. Right now I'm scheduled in a couple of weeks to take lunch out to her home along with Bonnie Lemons and Steve and Sue Parr, just to, you know, pray with her and enjoy a time of fellowship. But to me, those things are critical. I mean, she can't come to church. Unfortunately, her daughter's not going to bring her to church. Her daughter is, you know, may or may not be a Christian. I mean, I don't know. But she's still a member of our church. So she needs that connection. She needs to see people. She needs to know people are praying for her. We lost our only other shut-in, and that was Steve Hoteri. Steve had Parkinson's, and I was looking at my calendar. I had lunch with Steve December the 11th, and roughly 2 months later he had passed away. You know, but I always prayed for Steve as a shut-in. I think I told y'all, three times a week I'm praying for every adult in this church by name. And as I'm aware of needs, I can pray for those particular needs. But I know typically if you're alive, you have needs, whatever they might be. So I was always praying for Steve. But it's really sad that he passed away. I didn't even know about his graveside service. His wife was really estranged from the church. She'd come under church discipline, you know, over some tragic issues. She thought she was a prophet, and we wouldn't recognize her as a prophet. But nonetheless, so life gets really crazy sometimes, you know, and you run across stuff like that. And you think you got to be kidding me, but Steve was really faithful. He, in spite of his wife's kookiness, he stayed faithful, and yeah, but you know, passed away. There's another physical area where there's a need in the church, and that is, as you know, on the outside we have a camera system that watch entrances because of church shootings, okay? If you want to pray for something, that'd be something to pray for. And if there's someone that triggers that camera system, it's picked up on some people's phones, and they can look at that person and maybe assess very quickly if there's a, you know, it's kind of strange. It's August in Oklahoma, and they're wearing an overcoat. You know, why would someone be wearing an overcoat? That is an area of service. And Ronnie Andrews kind of handles that. But you ought to always be praying for church safety, because we live in a very lawless world, and there's always church shootings. You know, what can I say? There are some people who carry in the church. You know, again, that's something only you can figure out if you want to do that or not. I'm always encouraged that there are a couple of people that, you know, are carrying. So if someone walks in and starts shooting, they're gonna get it in return. But again, everyone has their own particular desire or non-desire in terms of carrying, but I just kind of, again, it's something I just have to leave with you. But certainly to, you know, pray God in His grace would, you know, protect us from that kind of evil. You know, we have kind of a high profile in that regard, because I don't, as you know, I don't buy into all these alternative lifestyles. You know, I reject those totally. And, you know, someone could be listening to a sermon and get angry and say, well, I'm going to show him. So you just, you know, that's the world in which we live in. And more churches are totally accepting of that, and even permitting them to, you know, engage in ministry. But, you know, it's not something that I'm ever going to buy into. But those things, you know, who knows, rankle people. Always a lot to pray for. But that camera system was our first line of defense. Second line of defense is people are carrying in the church. I'm always hoping they're sitting on the back pews or there's someone upstairs, but I don't control where people sit and what people bring. But I just know that it's a real danger. I drafted for the elders a response team, but it just felt like, you know, because of the confusion would occur if someone came in here and started shooting. At this point, where we are with the camera system and the fact that there are some carriers, if you have any measure of skill with a pistol, you might consider that. But again, I just have to leave that with you. So those are kind of the ministry needs that they're just are ongoing in our church. And I just have to leave to your own private discretion, your own gifts, and I'm always praying for there to be, you know, people to open their homes in terms of hospitality and fellowship, prayer partnerships, people going to the different Bible studies, people supporting our Sunday school and nursery programs, because there's just a lot going on. And if you want to participate, and say our Christmas program, Easter program, always let me know. Beyond those kind of things, I have to kind of bug Bonnie and Sue Parr. Hey, it's time for a church picnic when the weather turns good. So we got a picnic ginned up. Occasionally, I need to talk to Ronnie about this. We have special music programs here at the church. I think the last one was a string program. The one prior to that was bagpipes. The bagpipes was really cool. If you like bagpipes, you may not. If you don't like bagpipes, you probably wouldn't come. It was really cool. I mean, guy gets up there and, you know, plays Amazing Grace on the bagpipes. It's pretty touching. We try to do things like that, just so every now and then on a Sunday evening, there are opportunities. We don't, as you know, do a lot in terms of church-wide programs like on Wednesday evenings or on Sunday evenings, mainly because I'm really committed to telling parents that you need to be teaching your children. You're the one that needs to be catechizing your children, because you should be doing it every day. We only have couple of hours a week. And what goes on in the home is absolutely critical. And it's really critical in our age because, you know, man, I've never seen it so bad in our culture as we're experiencing now. But, you know, I mean, that's just me. By the way, I mentioned to y'all several things I used with my own sons when I was raising them, and I left one out. There's a publication called, at least I think I failed to mention this, called Keys for Kids, that really gets into application. If you're using the catechisms, I mean, they're doctrinal. Keys for Kids is very, very application. And kids need that. They need both. They need the doctrinal, okay? And by the way, let me emphasize something that's really critical. You're teaching them that theology, so if that God in His grace saves them, they have an immediate doctrinal background. Okay? That's why my kids didn't like it, but they were memorizing, critical portions of the shorter catechism. That by and large is, the other reason it's critical is because the American church is wholesale abandoning doctrinal preaching and theology. At least in my opinion. I mean, I think my opinion is well-founded. We just don't get into that. But we do here. I mean, this is a Reformed church, not just in name, but in content and practice. So that's one of the reasons the church is fairly small, I think, for that reason. You know, people are looking for, music and homilies. Nothing wrong with either one, but I'm not so sure on a consistent basis excessive music and a 15-minute homily is really going to feed your soul. So, I'm sure I missed something, but it's not that critical. So any questions over opportunities for you to get involved? Okay. Oh, thanks, Barb. Yeah. Yeah. So Barb publishes a calendar, just so people can kind of get a general idea. You might touch base with Sue Parr on our church picnic. Yeah.
I'll check with Sue Parr.
Yeah. Check with Sue, but it'll be, probably a fried chicken, I mean, I don't really care what they have. I mean, we've done different things, barbecue. I mean, I don't really care. I'd leave that to the planners, as long as they're not asking me to fry the chicken. I'll eat it. But if you want to bring fried catfish, I'll eat that too. I love fried catfish. Gee, Monday, Christmas. Consider those, some of those issues that we talked about. I'm grateful that Barb can come to our celebration, so she can take pictures, and Jeannie turns them into beautiful. Yeah. Well, she does a good job with that. In fact, that reminds me of something you can always pray for. There are people in our church, Jeannie's one of them, I don't think she would mind me saying this, but she's married. She does not come with her spouse because her spouse, I don't think, is a Christian. Okay, so how's he going to become a Christian? Well, probably people praying for him, okay? I think she has a son that she's very concerned about, an older son. How's he going to become a Christian? People praying, okay? And every now and then you ought to remind her, Jeannie, I'm praying for Mike, praying for your son. So that's what makes the church work. Okay. I always tell people the church is not a private affair. It's a public one. So. Okay, enough of that. Let me close this in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that there are many occasions for the saints to engage and to be involved, to use their gifts and their times and their talents. I pray the Great Spirit would press upon those that are here this morning opportunities to so engage. And we do it for the glory of our great Savior, who is worthy of all that we could do to advance His beloved kingdom and advance His name. In whose name we pray, amen.